In just a moment, a conversation with Iowa House member Ruth Ann Gaines, who is seeking re-election in House District 32. That's on the near north side of downtown Des Moines near East High. Mrs. Gaines, a former educator, has been in the minority party for the past several cycles, but she says she's confident that the Democrats will pick up seats and perhaps flip the Iowa House. We'll visit with her about her goals and her district in this wide-ranging conversation. Inside on Business, the News Hour, is a production of Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications. Learn more at insightcubed.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Hey, it is the Business News Hour. Welcome back. You know, one of the things that we have been doing recently is going out and having conversations with various candidates all across central Iowa. And this time, we're going to be visiting with Ruth Ann Gaines. Representative Gaines has been in the Iowa House a number of years. She is in a contested race on the east side of Des Moines, and we thought we'd sit down and introduce you, if you don't know Ruth Ann, to her, and also learn a little bit more about her race and what it means for Iowa. Welcome to the Business News Hour, Ruth Ann. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Good to see you, too.
I have always been a fan of yours for several reasons. Number one is that you are steady when it comes to the work that you've done in the past at the Iowa House. You are reliable. People know you. They trust you. And you've worked hard over the years. So I just want to, let's tell individuals who may not know you a little bit about your story, and then I want to talk about some specifics if we can.
Certainly. I've been in the Iowa House since I was elected in 2010. Unfortunately, the year of 2010 was the year of the tsunami in the state, and my party, the Democratic Party, lost control of the House.
Yes.
So I walked into a situation and learned automatically what that actually meant, that whatever legislation that we as Democrats thought was good for the state of Iowa might not pass because we were not in the majority. But fortunately, we were in the majority in the Senate. So a lot of the issues that we felt strongly about, yay or nay, the Senate had control of either hopefully pushing it to Governor Branstad at that time, pushing it forward to him, or stopping it in the Senate. And we did a fairly good job. I was never able to pass any of the legislation that I proposed, and many of my friends weren't either, but it wasn't as bad as it became in 2016 when the Republican Party took control of the Iowa legislature.
Both the House and the Senate.
And the Senate.
And the gubernatorial office.
We lost the Senate in 2016, and the last 2 years were horrific.
Yep.
I sat day after day and watched legislation that I knew was horrendous for Iowans get passed without any problem.
There is great hope among the Democrats, Ruth Ann, that the Democrats will regain at least the House on this time. There are a number of women and young men who are vying for office all across the state of Iowa, and we've had the opportunity to speak with many of them. What would that mean to your constituents in your House district, and what would that mean for the state of Iowa should the Democrats be able to take back the House?
If the Democrats take back the House and hopefully the governorship, it will be a tremendous gain, not only for people in my district, but for the entire state, because education needs more funding. That's number one for me and many of my constituents, because we believe in public education. And ever since I was elected to the House, we've lost monies, which means more problems for teachers and not good educational devices for kids. We would change that. We would totally fund into education, not just K-12, but higher education. We would deprivatize Medicaid, which is something I hear everywhere I go.
Now, I want to focus on that for just a moment, because
okay.
I understand the education angle. You know, Chapter 20 has been eliminated, the right for collective bargaining.
Yes.
That has been horrible for teachers. They've had to go through recertification. I've talked with ISEA about this at length. But let's talk about Medicaid.
Okay.
And this privatization. As I understand it, there are now two companies that are assisting.
MCOs.
Yes, they are assisting with this product. And to take it back just a couple of years, this is something that former governor, now ambassador, Terry Branstad did as an executive order, upended the entire Medicaid system on the promise that it was going to save millions of dollars. And what's been the reality?
The reality is that the clients of Medicaid are not getting served. That's the big, big result.
And how much of this do you hear in your district?
All the time. Whatever forum I go to, whoever I talk to on the phone, and people just meeting me in Walgreens or Hy-Vee, talk to me about Medicaid, because so many people are on Medicaid. And you know what? My 34-year-old son is on Medicaid.
So you're firsthand.
So I know it firsthand, and it has not been good. And we are on probably one of the better ends of Medicaid. We still have services, but his hours have been cut. There's no consistency in the kinds of people that are going to come help him, and there's a limit to how far he can go. It was much, much better when the state had control of these dollars and this product.
We are visiting with Representative Ruth Ann Gaines. Let's talk for just a moment, and we're going to get back to some issues in just a second, but I want to give individuals out there a sense of your district. Can you give us some geographical boundaries of where you're running?
Yes. My district runs from 2nd Avenue on the west side to Hubbell on the east side. That's east and west. Court Avenue on the south side, and Euclid on the north side.
Pretty good sized district.
Yes, each district in the state houses about 33,000 people. Well, no, the district houses 66,000 people, but the district is split into two representatives, and each representative represents about 33,000 people.
Yeah, it's a pretty good sized district.
It is.
Can you give us a general makeup? Now, this is on the east side of Des Moines, for the most part.
Yes.
It is known as an area that is economically challenged.
Lower income for a lot of it. 49%, 49.5% minority. And a lot of people don't realize that. Sometimes when people think minority, they think African American. But that's not the case anymore. We have a 17% population of Latino residents living over here. We also have Africans, a large population of Africans,
yes,
and a few Asians. So it's half, you might as well say half minority.
Yes. So you have, which brings another complex issue to your race, is making sure that you can get to those people. If 17% of your constituency is Latino, there's great fear in the United States when you are a Latino and you are living in the United States, becoming involved and getting out there and working hard. And I know that, the Asian-Latino Coalition, which is non-political.
It's great, yes.
It is non-political. It is a nonpartisan group. But they work really hard in that sector. Would that be accurate?
That's right. And they've done several voter registration drives in this district to get Latinos specifically out to vote, because there's like three or four or five blocks of just Latinos in this community.
Sure.
And many of them are documented. that's a misnomer, too, that all the people living on the east side are undocumented. No, they're not. And so we've been trying really hard to get them out to vote and realize the importance of voting. And I think they do. I think it was House File 481 last year who brought a lot of people out into the Capitol to realize what was happening to them. I think more and more people are realizing that legislation can either go yay or nay for them, and they're getting out to vote. So we've been working really hard on that.
We are visiting with Representative Ruth Ann Gaines, and we're talking about the upcoming election in November. We've discussed a bit about issues and also about the district, how it lies. Let's go back to issues, if we can, for just a moment. You talked about education.
Yes.
You also talked about reversing the
Medicaid.
MCO, right,
mm-hmm.
the Medicaid. Should the Democrats come into office and hold a majority in the House? What other things, Ruth Ann, are you hearing?
Well, you talked a lot about collective bargaining. And being a former teacher, people talked to me. And this getting rid of Chapter 20 really did affect education more than people realize, because teachers have no backbone in terms of fighting what's happening to them in the classroom. I taught at East High School right smack dab in the middle of the district for 40 years. So I'm still connected with some of those younger teachers whom I taught with before I retired. Three of those teachers lost their positions at East High School because they belong to the union, and that's what they believe, and that they were very, very vocal about issues of concern. They were moved. They were moved to other schools and had to fight like heck to get the jobs that they have. So I saw firsthand what happens when the union can't come out and really give you the support that you need.
And one of the interesting things, now, you shared with me your age, and but I
that's
and
okay.
A gentleman never asks a lady.
Akeo announces my age every year on the legislative floor on my birthday.
We would expect that. but one of the things that you would remember, because you taught for 40 years at this school district, was it was Governor Republican Robert Ray that put into effect Chapter 20, the right of collective bargaining in Iowa.
And it was so wonderful.
And it was also a Republican legislature. What happened?
I don't know. You know, like I said, I came in 2010, and over these 8 years that I've spent there, there seems to be a change in attitude with the people who are being elected. When I first got there, there was a lot more bipartisan work. At least I felt that there was. This last election in 2016, a lot of people came in who seemed to not be connected with their constituents, who were there just to follow what the party wanted and not to follow what probably many of their own hearts desired. And they just were like, I don't know, kids let out of a cage and ready to just push in any legislation that came down from Washington, D.C., not caring whether or not it affected constituents and people in Iowa. I guess that's what it is. That sums it up. I saw the last session a whole lot of people who just didn't care. And that was the major difference. So over the years, we have become more partisan. And that is not good. More, I'm going to do what my party tells me to do, and I don't care who it affects. And that's not good. And I think the whole country is going that way.
It's awful.
It's ugly.
It is ugly. And we also had on the Business News Hour Congressman John Delaney from Maryland, who talks about how can we somehow heal the schism that we have here in the United States. You know, I don't, and I don't want to be partisan with this, but I don't hear Republicans talking about healing or moving forward or listening to constituency. I hear Democrats talking about, well, we have to close the gap, we have to talk to each other, we have to work in unison, we have to heal the divisions that we have so that people's interests can move forward.
Exactly. It's all about electing the right candidates. You know, we've come to an age, I think, where it's not Democrat and Republican. It's what's right and what's wrong. And that's the era of Governor Ray, that if we want to go back that far. And I remember that. He brought in all of those refugees because it was the right thing to do. And I supported him as a Republican governor, even though I was Democratic. I don't see that happening today in the Iowa legislature. And as I read and look about what's happening around the country, it's all in, I want to be in power. I am right. I don't care about the common person. I don't care about the little person. I don't care about people who have differences, who people who are different than me. And I don't want to learn. That's the part that hurts me the most, because again, I'm an educator. And this is what I saw in the Iowa legislature. I don't want to learn. I know enough. I'm right. Good night. That's really harmful to us as a people.
Her name is Ruth Ann Gaines. She is running for re-election to the Iowa House and obviously hopes that her party, and as well as the governorship, will revert back to the Democrats. What's your sense? What's your feeling when, and I know that people are frustrated, some are very angry. What's your feeling of the voter? Are they giving up or are they energized?
I think many people are, like you said, frustrated and need a push, need a real big push to get out there and vote. But I'm beginning to see that surge as we get closer and closer to November 6th. I think people are getting energized. This Kavanaugh thing in the last couple of weeks have actually energized a lot of Democrats to really get out and vote, because we have been telling people that had a Democratic legislature or on the Capitol Hill, he would not have been confirmed. And so we are trying to teach people what their vote really means. You know, a lot of people care, but they just don't feel their vote counts. And this is what we have to do, make people realize that every single vote counts and that they are important and they have control over their destinies.
Final question for Representative Ruth Ann Gaines. A couple of things that are stand out here. You are a woman, and you're a woman of color. How does that impact your decision-making ability and who you're reaching out to and listening to? What about women's issues in the state of Iowa?
I think we are becoming much more aware of the need for women in government, the need for women in leadership, and women are becoming empowered as individuals, and we are empowering other women to step up and speak out. The Democratic Party has always been supportive of women in leadership. In fact, I think that's one of the reasons why I'm there, because I was a teacher, as we've said now three or four times, but people talk to me about my own leadership ability and stepping out not only for women, but for minorities. In fact, I ran two times before I was actually elected. That's how hard it was for me as an African-American woman to get elected.
Wow.
The first time I was recruited specifically because I was a woman. I was recruited by Don's List back in 1994
to run
for the
ago.
Senate. The second time was in 2004 when I was recruited because I was an African-American to run for city council. Both of those issues have always been out there. It took me three times, but I did it. I'm there, and I know that I have the important responsibility to reach out to women, minorities, and anyone who has a voice to say, you have a right to run. If you think you got it in you, get out there, because we need a new generation of leaders. And that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to empower young people to run for office, because we need a turnover.
Her name is Ruth Ann Gaines. She is running for re-election in her House district. Thank you so much, Ruth Ann, for spending some time with us. Good luck in your race.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much. I plan to be back there. That was fun.
And yes, it really was. Once again, that was Iowa House member Ruth Ann Gaines, who is seeking re-election in House District 32. That's on the near northeast side of downtown Des Moines. We've got links to her Facebook page on our radio blog.